Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You have joined the Blog Talk session of Words from the Word. I am your host, Overseer Paulette Thornton. We are so glad that you have joined us this morning. We praise God for the glory of a new day, for the majesty of his presence in our life as he allows the sun to come up as a reminder of his promise to us. And we thank him that he is faithful and that his mercy endures through all generations. So not just the generations in the Word of God, but the generations through the children of Israel, through the people of the Hebrew nation, and to the Gentiles, and to the church. Hallelujah. We thank God that he has included us in his plan and in his heart of love. We thank him for his precious son, Jesus Christ, and the life and the death and the resurrection that his life has given to us, that power, the anointing. We thank God for Holy Spirit who has come to journey with us from within, empowering us to do those things that will bring unity to the church. It will edify the body and the individual members, and it will glorify our Heavenly Father. And so we are just happy to be a part of the family of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We appreciate you joining with us. You have tuned in to the LFC Voice, Not an Echo Ministry under the apostolic head of Apostle Shanette Alvania Houghton, who received the vision and who wrote it down and made it clear. And there are those LFC specialists and ministry partners who are running with it to take over the airways of the kingdom of living God. Hallelujah. We thank God for leadership that is rooted in his word and in his will. We thank God for those who support and are a part of this leadership and ministry. We are just glad that we are recipients of the power of this ministry. And of this vision of a oneness of the body of Christ rejoicing through, in this vineyard, the airways. We thank God for the retreats that have gone on, the conferences that have been a part of our teaching and our training, and we invite you to be a part of them and to sign up to receive the monthly email blast that presents all of the ministries, and there are over 100 of them, and the different activities that they have going on around the country and some around in the world at large. So this is a ministry that is global by nature, and yet it's one soul at a time. This is the month of July, and that puts us into our seventh prayer watch. We have a Pastor Marlette, who will later give us that prayer watch focus, that seventh watch focus, and what our prayer should be. There will be a prayer watch summit that will take place at this on the Blog Talk radio station that is the church radio station. And you can get that information via email. If you need it from me, I can be contacted at pc_thornton@yahoo.com. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have been working with the book of Acts. We've been looking at it. We have looked at the next seven words of Christ after he arose from the grave, and what his work among amongst the people brought about the seven last sayings, and then the result of those sayings is the birth of the church, the first church. And then we looked at the spiritual disciplines that were evident in the first church, because we want to be able to understand how church grows, how a church is supposed to look. We don't ever want to lose sight of the vision. And actually, I want to say Luke penned it, the book of Acts. I believe that. Pray I'm correct. And in doing so, he showed us, you know, oh man, what the Lord does require. And in that showing, it's what the people did and how they responded to the gospel based on some of the spiritual disciplines that we looked at, and that was the discipline of accountability partners and the community covenant groups of discipling, of hospitality, mentoring, of service, of small group fellowship, spiritual fellowship, unity, and being witnesses. And that has taken us to the subject of the one another. And that kind of brings us up to date for where we're going to launch out today and continue actually from last week as we look at that new group called one another, or referred to as one another. It was referred to as one another, I think, evangelist Roberta shared with us how many times it was mentioned in the scripture in New Testament, one another, what the terms and what the definition, how one another looked, how it was to be treated, how it was to be maintained, what the elements of it were. And in that, we have some categories that are supported by scripture that we do want to share with you today. And so we have Elder on the line as well. And good morning, good morning. We have Cleveland on the line. I'm excited about that. That's part of my sister in Christ and sister in the flesh. Praise the Lord. So good morning to you. Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Amen. Amen. This is a dialogue directed, and so feedback and forth and dialogue is not only welcome, it's needed, so that we can flow with all that the Spirit gives us all. Elder Deborah, if you can remind me of where we left off at the one another. Which one it was particularly that we were looking at.
I'm sorry, I'm talking with the mute on. Excuse me. Good morning. I believe that live in harmony. We did accept one another, and we skipped over the be kind to one another because of its reference in Galatians for future exploration. So we have anything from live in harmony with one another on to cover.
Okay. All right. So I just want to start by reading the, and we're looking at the Spiritual Discipline Handbook by Adele Calhoun, and we're in the Appendix 6, where it is focusing on the one another's. And it says, just as the Trinity is one, so followers of Jesus are one. No matter how many schisms divide us, the supreme reality, we are to be incarnated in oneness. We belong to one another. We cannot apprentice ourselves to Jesus and live without regard for others. How does Christian oneness and community look like? What does it look like? Scripture is replete with examples and directives that can shape healthy relationships and engender safe, thriving body life. I love that. We want our body to live, and we want our body as the body of Christ to thrive throughout the book of Acts. It says, and the church grew daily. A growing entity is one that is thriving and one that is healthy, one that is being nurtured to the point where it is producing. And we're going to get to that. So all of these are words that are setting us up for our next study of the fruit of the Spirit. But so it is a thriving body that we're looking to maintain. And it's each one's individual directive to make sure, not necessarily to point at what it isn't doing, what the body isn't doing, but what am I doing in the body? And am I fulfilling my call to oneness and doing all that I can do to promote the health of the body of Christ, and not just the health, but the thriving health, the safe health. And so I'll start with the next one after living in harmony with one another. It's forgive one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ forgave you. That's Ephesians 4 and 32. And that's such a powerful directive, and it would consume us with the love of Christ if each time we feel that we have been offended, if we forgave, if we forgive error as it goes forth, forgiving it and then praying for it. I'm always reminded of Nehemiah when he heard of the state of the children of Israel and the wall and the city of Jerusalem. He repented for the fathers. He repented for the acts that they had done. He asked God for forgiveness for others. And that's something that I think we don't necessarily put in the forefront of our daily activity and our church activity, asking God to forgive those who are weaker, forgive those who are in error, and to praying on their behalf, but more than that, praying the prayer of intercession of forgiveness for them, and then being obedient to the Spirit as it leads as to what we are to do next. And so the next heading, Elder Deborah.
Be hospitable to one another. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And then the NRSV says, instead of grumbling, without complaining. Be hospitable to one another without complaining. And, you know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you told me to do that one, because sometimes I do find that the work will get done. But, you know, the scripture tells us that we need to do it with a cheerful heart. We need to do it willingly and, you know, to the glory of God. And I think that that's probably a good verse for us to be reminded as the body, because sometimes we can grow weary and get frustrated. But to do it without grumbling and without complaining.
Amen. Amen. And I think, too, you know, as you were speaking, I was reminded of the fact, you know, we'll say, I have a cheerful heart. My heart is cheerful towards God. I have a willing heart because my heart is willing to do what God wants. But we don't necessarily have a willing, cheerful heart towards our neighbor or towards that, you know, difficult individual in the service or towards that, you know, a stranger. You know, our heart is not that willing towards the individual. It's willing towards our Christian walk, but it's not. I want to say it doesn't flow to people that way. You know, we may grin and we say what? Grin and, you know, grin and bear it. And that means we're not rejoicing in it. You know, we're not, you know, and I think in everything, if we look at it as the benefit of having received forgiveness, having received help, having received, been the recipient of Christ's hospitality in his kingdom, how hospitable he is to us with his house, with the Father's house, where he's preparing rooms for us, you know, and even in our state of when we were rejecting him, he was still preparing for us. He was being mm-hmm. hospitable, was extending himself to us for our benefit, not for his reward, okay?
Yeah. You know, when I think practically, and looking at this, the being hospitable, that sometimes it can be easier to deal with folks who are outside of the church, that we're more willing as the body of Christ to minister to people outside of the church. I think if you really want to see folks get in a tizzy, ask them to do something they normally don't do. You know, cleaning, washing dishes, doing something that it might be considered, that they might consider menial or, you know, a task that's beneath them, things that we would do for strangers that we won't do for the brethren when we feel that it is not our, not in our league or not in our, I can't think of the word, but you know what I mean, not one of the things that we feel appropriate for our calling, so to speak. So,
well,
yeah, I think that the hospitality is something, you know, you let people in, don't speak to them when they come into the church, you know, how you doing, come back, glad to see you, you know, those kinds of things that we need to be mindful. Sometimes it's just because we're negligent because we're busy and, you know, those kinds of things, but to be intentional, to be hospitable.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love it that we do have Cleveland on the line, and I don't know if there's a more hospitable person that I know than my sister. And she's being unusually quiet, and yet she's been the different situations, particularly Christian situations in serving people and being a part of the hospitality, if you will, for an event or for a purpose, and how difficult sometimes it is to maintain that cheerfulness, and yet she does it so very beautifully. And so you can comment, sister. She does a
yes.
lot to talk.
Thank you, Overseer. Praise God for all of you saints. I really feel honored to be asked to be on the program. And as I was listening, I had to reflect, and I thank God for the Holy Spirit convicting me, because as my sister said, I've been doing this for over half of my life. And it was never a tedious chore. I mean, I enjoy serving people. But as I got older and I watched and I learned and I listened to especially the body of Christ, it seemed more easier to service strangers than it is to serve the body of Christ. And I have been convicted because, as you all sing, and Scripture says, we must, you know, be kind and generous and hospitable to the body of Christ also, is just as well. And that has been, the Lord is convicting me here lately in that area. And it's just surprising how we're all focusing on what God wants us to do during this time. And it's important because of the way things are now in the world. And the body of Christ, definitely, we need prayer. We need encouraging. We need supporting, you know, and be careful how we speak to one another and how we greet one another, you know. So I've been definitely convicted in this area here lately. And I thank God for that, because I love this journey. I really do, and I love serving people. And regardless of my response in some areas, it didn't bother me. And I thank God for that. And I continue to pray that he'll keep me focused and keep me loving. But as Saints was saying a few minutes ago, it's sometimes difficult. But that's just to test us and to help us to grow. And we're not perfect, but we are growing in Christ. And each day it gets better and better and sweeter and sweeter. Thank you.
Amen. I think that that's a wonderful testimony to just each one of these elements. You heard, in even in the speaking, the element of encouraging one another, of bearing one another, of accepting one another. of being kind to one another, of living in harmony with one another, of forgiving one another, hospitable to one another, and then to honor one another. Honor one another above yourself, Romans 12 and 10. And that's a difficult thing sometimes as we are so prone to seeing people's error or shortcomings. And even though we will honor those that, you know, the Bible says honor those who honor is due, you know, and we will honor, you know, the leader or, you know, those people that are up front before us so often, but do we honor one another? You know, do we honor the person that's sitting next to me? Am I honoring the person that comes in late, asking forgiveness for them because I got this forgiveness from when I was late? And, you know, are we honoring them? You know, even we have an issue sometimes at laborers. Did you move your purse so they can sit down? Or did you honor the unit of a family and kind of scrunch together so a family can sit together? You know, these things of honoring each other take on some practical looks that I think sometimes we don't associate with that. You know, we think of honor, well, you know, I said, you know, I gave for their offering or whatever. You know, I honor a person, you know, with accolades and that sort of thing. But it's those everyday activities and interactions that will show us honoring another. And it says here, above ourselves. So it may be more comfortable for me to do this, but because it would be comfortable for you if I don't, then I'm honoring you by not doing it. You know, even though it would help me, but I know it will bless you, so I'm going to do what will bless you. And so we need to find ourselves, you know, making those kinds of intentional decisions to our commitment for a healthy body. In Christ, for a healthy church, making those intentionally choosing to do that. Okay, next. I wasn't sure. We have others on the line, and if you have your spiritual discipline handbook and like to go along with us, we're in page 274, and the next one is belong to one another. Belong to one another.
I'll go ahead and read that, Overseer, while the other folks are getting on the line. Belong to one another. Romans 12 and 5, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Ephesians 4:25, we are members of one another. Finally, brethren, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. That's 2 Corinthians 13:11. And there are two other scriptures in that. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, and that's from Hebrews 10:25. And finally in that section, 1 Corinthians 12:24-25, God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. And I think that one is just so powerful. I think we even spoke about it on last week's session. The inferior members, those things that are hidden, those things that are inside, those duties and folks that perform those duties that you don't see. But, you know, what would happen if the plumbing stops? What happens when, you know, the inner workings of an organism or an organization stop working as designed? It doesn't matter how bright and shiny the outside is. You know, if the innards aren't working, then nothing is working. You know, just ask someone who has a toothache or foot problem. You know, it doesn't matter what all the other trappings are. And I think that it is just awesome that in this scripture that it tells us that God has arranged, that this is his design.
Yeah.
He has arranged to keep it a level playing field so we don't get it twisted, we don't get big-headed about being, you know, like I said, maybe bright and shiny, you know, the lesser, the inferior are just as important, if not more in many cases.
Amen. Amen. And true. And that did bear repeating from last week because it is a, I think, a element, excuse me, that we don't honor like we should and understand like we need to. And so belonging to one another definitely changes the field of view. So it's not that we're looking up to each other. We belong to each other. So we're part of one another. The next one is be devoted to one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, mutual affection, Romans 12 and 10. And I think that that is a huge support of the 1 Corinthians 12, you know, being devoted to all of the members in a mutual love and in a oneness. Okay, next. Okay, Elder Deborah, I wasn't sure if Minister, make sure I get everybody open here. You are live. And you've been taken off of mute. So if you would like to dialogue and share, you may do so. Okay. Okay. Then speak truthfully to one another. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices. Colossians 3 and 9. And so then, putting away falsehood, let all of us speak the truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians 4 and 25. I think that is such a element that we don't necessarily understand how we lie to each other. But how it and how much that diminishes our effectiveness when we're not truthful. And truthful being honest in the inward parts. Truthful being when someone asks you how you're doing, if you're not doing well and you say, "Oh, I'm fine," then you're not being truthful. You're not being truthful of your process. You know, sometimes we'll act like, you know, oh, this is no big thing. Yes, it is. But Christ, so the truthfulness will be becomes a part of our witnessing to what God is doing, to be strong and bear it and those type of things. Sometimes that is not truthful because it's false. Because what is true is I am weak. I am made strong through Christ. He is the one that is my strength. And so rather than saying I'm fine, I'm, you know, pastor says this, I'm blessed as you are blessed. And that's very true. So I am blessed with the strength of God to endure whatever it is my challenge is. And so sometimes our lack of truthfulness is in the fact that we're not saying something that we should be saying. So we have all of this awesome power going on in our life and overcoming and conquering our fears and our struggles. And we say, oh, I'm fine. You know, I have been made righteous in Christ is what I am. And I know I'm guilty of it. I know someone said something to me and it's like, no, I'm good. You know, but I'm good through the righteousness of Christ. And I'm good because whatever I have need of, I have because he has given it to me. And so that extends me in honesty to you, and that becomes my witness of him. And that's what we're supposed to do with one another. So then we edify one another, because when someone says that to me, it's going to make me stop and think. It's going to make me stop, you know, saying when I think about the goodness. So our interactions should promote each other to think about the goodness of God. And if it doesn't, then we're having false relationships, because they're not established. They're not producing the truth that should follow us as Christians, as belonging to one another, as devoted to one another. Okay, mm-hmm. Next.
Would you like for me to speak? To read that?
Yes, I would love for it.
All right. Teach one another. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Colossians 3:16. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Next. Agree with one another. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and in thought. I appeal to you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read that, and I'm going to be honest with you, and it's like, okay, do I agree with everybody? You know, it says agree that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. And so I would like others' input and insight into that, because it is very interesting to me. And as I said, when I read it the first time, I questioned myself, and I don't know that that's something that I understood how to do. How do I agree with one another? Now, if the one another, that phrase, that term, that group, are in unity with the will and the word of Jesus Christ, then I understand that. But what do we do when there may be some that are not? There's some that are, they don't think a thing is wrong, or they don't think that something is necessarily a sin. How do I agree with them, and what does that look like? Question for debate, is for not debate, but for dialogue and discussion. Anybody's insight or input into that?
Well, all things we do should be governed by Scripture. And if that brother or that sister, the body of Christ, tends to have a one mindset to do it their way, regardless of, you know, what Scripture says, and we can't get them to understand, but going together in prayer for that brother or sister, that you will gain understanding, which happens a lot in our church community, and which caused a lot of people to leave the church, and because of biblical truths that they just refused to accept. And I know in being taught down through the years, there were certain teachers that had me studying hard in that book, because I didn't see what they saw. And I had a problem with that with one Sunday school teacher, and I just kept praying about it, and actually, down through the years, that particular person reassessed the way they delivered that scripture to us as they were teaching, and it humbled him as far as women, and it was earth shaking, and it was just so gratifying to see how God works with people and to bring truth to light. And this is what the saints should pray for within the church, that we all receive truth. and continue, you know, to worship in spirit and in truth and gain understanding. We shouldn't talk down to them or disagree loudly and arguing. That's dissension, and that is not what God expects. So that's the way I've seen it down through the years, and God works it out. He works it out, and people that do leave, I have seen them come back because they've experienced other things at other churches that they know that where they were in the beginning at our church, that was the pastor, the teaching was all truth and was scripture based.
Amen. Anybody else?
Overseer? Yeah, I want overseer. It takes me back to the accept one another, and I apologize, my line disconnected there for a second. But
Amen.
On the prior page where it says, and this is Romans 14:1-4, accept him whose faith is weak, without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's whose faith is weak can eat only vegetables. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does. For God has condemned him. Who are you to judge someone else's servant?
Amen.
His own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand.
Amen.
So, we have to make sure that if the Lord has accepted him, we need to accept him. And all of these one another kind of speak to that, the loving, the caring, the honoring, the forgiving, that that whole agreeing with one another. I'm kind of like overseer. I'm like, is that a real scripture? I've run across a couple in my life where I'm like, is that really in the Bible? Let me close the discipline book and open the Bible because I want to see that. You know, it's that in mind. But I think it's agreeing on the major issues and being willing and mature enough to allow the smaller things to work themselves out. And if somebody wants blue and you want green, blue is fine because it's not going to make a difference, you know, in the end result. So I think that agree with one another, that sometimes we have to take the low road. I mean, we have to be the servant and sometimes allow our own opinions and ideas and wishes to be, I won't say circumvented, but, you know, to be relaxed so that the majority vote or the vote of another, you know, because sometimes we can be right. I remember my dad used to say, you may be right, but don't be dead right. And, you know, we choose our battles, and everything is not shouldn't be a theological battle in the church. Well, nothing should really be a theological battle, but, you know, some things we need to stand with, but, you know, but other things, sometimes we major in the minor, so to speak.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And I was, amen, as you ladies were sharing, the thing that just kept coming in my head was find common ground. And because that's what each one of you has experienced and shared, is you find the thing that you do agree on. You find the common ground. And you can stand there together. And so the thing that you don't agree on, there is, and God has a plan of action for it, if you will. And as elders stated, you know, it's these elements, honor one another, forgive one another, live in harmony, accept one another, don't judge. And then what the evangelist shared was the fact that then you go into prayer and you go into intercession. You don't get an attitude, but you allow Holy Spirit to do what he is going to do in their life. And so, again, that's going to lead us to a place of the seed that you plant when you find that common ground that you do agree on and you stand there together. Then the area that are challenging that agreement, then, you know, there is another offshoot or another road to travel for that. But the first and foremost, find the common ground and actually rejoice there. And then all these other things, and as we acknowledge God together there on our common ground, then he will, you know, he will direct our path to follow with one another going forward. So I appreciate that, because that clarity, like I said when I first read it, so that's something that I know is going to be my task, my in the forefront of my relationships with all of those in the body of Christ, is to find that common ground. Yet there, rejoice with them there, and then seek the direction that the Holy Spirit. And we do that, but I don't think we necessarily, you know, sometimes we do it and we judge. I do. I won't say we. I'll say I. And, you know, throw our hands up or get emotional about it. Not really emotional, but, you know, we get worked up about it just in our spirit. And so when we hear that person's name, it's like, oh, you know, that's our first inside reaction. It may be your physical outside reaction. So you see that name come up on the ID on your phone, it's like, oh, I'm not taking that call, or whatever. And so those are things that I will be more mindful of and accountable, you know, for. And I know that Apostle's on the line, and so I will ask her to definitely hold me accountable, and I know that she will. Apostle.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. All right. So the next one, look out for one another. Look out for one another. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Philippians 2 and 4. Because I have found in the body of Christ that if I'm an intercessor, everything got to be about intercessor. If I'm a preacher, everything's about preaching. Boxing, everything's about singing. And it says here, look out for another, in another, look out for one another. So not just what's your own interest, but also to the interests of others. So some people are into, if you will, or have an interest or even a ministry for certain things that may not be what I have a ministry for. You know, and yet it says here, each of you should look out, not just for your own, but look out for theirs as well. Be that support. Be that person that is looking out. That means that you're taking an active, intentionally, you know, purposing to actively be involved in some way into the things that interest other people. Comment, question, insight. Okay. The next one. Yes.
Can I have that scripture again, please?
Yes. It's Philippians 2 and 4. It says, for each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Okay. All right. All right, next. Oh, people. Okay, worship with one another. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:19-20. Amen. Amen.
Just yourself. I mean, to just decorate the home. Dress. Yeah, he'd do that.
Hello.
Black and white.
Yes.
Black. Oh.
They want to put their phone on mute or speak
with the worship one another. It almost sounds, when I read that, like it's saying worship one, you know, worship like a personal worship. But I guess it does say speak to one another in psalm. Hymns and spiritual song. I'm wondering what that would actually look like. I mean, I guess you could say the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, I don't know. How do you interpret that when it says worship with? I mean, I get to worship with one another, you know, a corporate worship. But do you think it's referring to corporate worship, or do you think it is literally that we would be addressing each other, you know, with the scripture or not? I mean, do you think it's talking about corporate worship?
No, I think it's more than that. I think it is how we are to respond. You know, one of the things that I don't like about the movie Annie, the new version, is every time you turn around, they break out in a song and a dance, you know, and it's like, okay, people. But honestly, that's how we should be. We should break out in a song and a dance unto God in worship. As we come together, you know, sometimes we do, and you know how that people do that that holy dance that they stomp their feet real, real fast. And so, you know, and somebody will say something, and then they'll, you know, do that because, and you're worshiping together. You really are connecting with one another and honoring God, and you're doing it creatively, whether it's in song or poetry, or sometimes somebody will say, you know he can, and then that breaks out into a song, and you know he will, and you know he's able, you know. And so then sometimes Pastor Marlene and myself do that, and other people go, oh, there they go again, because someone says something, and it triggers a memory, it triggers a thought about God, and that thought had been expressed in a song, and so we start singing the song. And can you imagine how joyful we would be walking around in there, dancing,
amen,
as we come in contact with one another? You know, and I know we'll say glory, and I love when Minister Pat says glory, hallelujah. And so when I hear glory, I think hallelujah. I think of Minister,
amen.
I see her dancing, and I think that that's what he's saying. It's like it says, and sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. And so it's in my heart, and he says what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. You know, and
amen.
So something, what is that, fire ministry that comes on in the mornings on Friday, unleash the fire. Some fire you can't contain. You can't unleash it. I can't keep it in. And I think those are those spontaneous moments that's what this is speaking of, worshiping with one another. So when one another sees each other, remember, this one another is a group, and we don't always walk together, but we can maybe be in the grocery store, you know, maybe, I don't know, at Walmart, whatever, and we see each other, you know, it should, I want to say, evoke a corporate worship of the two or three coming together, you know. And so just expressing just the love and the joy of this first church. That's what the first church had. They had this kind of fellowship. It was so good till when I leave your house, let's go over to the Lord's house. Yeah, let's keep this going. You know, he preached all night long, got out dead, came back to life, and he even said, I got to go home, okay? You know, I just had this medical issue, now I need to go and rest, and now I'm going to go back in. Not scared, but not wanting to miss a moment of this good thing, of this joy, of this fire, you know, that was new to them because it was such a freedom for them. And I think that's what we're missing. You know,
they don't give insight on that. You know, as you were speaking over here, it made me think that we do the opposite so easily, you know, just frustrated, lost something, missed the bus or whatever. Even Mama G myself, I was walking home from the car repair place, and I was like, man, I can't believe it. I can't, you know, whatever. And it's just really, that's kind of like the opposite of that, as opposed to, good morning, God bless you, you know. Well, I'm, you know, just as likely to say something positive that edifies the body. But, you know, I think when you said that, I can see how that can happen more practically, because you're exactly right. You see someone and you say, you know, God bless you, how you doing? And they give you a praise report. And usually there is some kind of joining of a phrase, like mm-hmm. God is good, or, you know, bless mm-hmm. him, or something like that. And it creates a chorus of the people that are talking.
Yep.
But the flip side
Amen.
Of that, when we do something negative, man, it's really hot out here. Yeah, you know, or whatever. We get that same kind of thing. So I think to edify and, I guess, worship with one another. I never thought about it like that, but that is a great insight.
Amen.
All right, so y'all know y'all in for it when you see me, right? You don't know what song I'm going to sing, okay?
Sing a new song.
It will be in the gift of joy, okay? And, you know, and I was thinking about it, and that's part of being honest. That's part of being truthful to one another. If I tell you the truth, we should tear this city down with joy and praise and worshiping
Amen.
God. The truth be
known. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But I say, oh, I'm fine. Okay. Well, la-di-da, and so does everybody say that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so what does that edify? Who does that glorify? You know, who is sanctified by that? You know, who's built up by that? Nobody. You know, and so what best it does is try to guard us from other people knowing our business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
And then for some people, honestly, is that we feel like, well, you know what, I'm a Christian, and so, you know, this is what I'm supposed to say. For those that are deep down, I'm saying this in faith. Well, then say you said it in faith. It ain't so, but I speak it as though it is. You know, and so,
Amen.
And
that stirs up the gift. That stirs up our faith. It's deposited in us. When someone says, I'm saying it in faith, you know, the whole faith cometh by hearing. When I hear you acknowledge and encourage yourself in the Lord, that edifies me or, you know, who's ever listening. Yeah. And if we don't share our burdens, we can't bear each other's burdens, which was one of the one another's on one of the pages I remember, bear one another's burdens.
There you go. So can you see what was fueling this first church? We're getting a glimpse of this, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't know what the world thinks, okay? You may go to heaven and be looking for your mama and your daddy and your sister and your brother. But we're going to see one another, and we're going to worship him. We're going to take that city down. But we certainly going to, and the angels are going to back up and get out of the way and just watch in awe of the
Hallelujah.
Joy that the heaven. That's what heaven's going to be like. Now, that's what it's going to be like. And so the first church is just a preparatory glance. Glimpse, that's what I want to say, of those things that are waiting for us. We can't imagine it, and this I know.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, the Spirit will give us an understanding, and I believe that's what this one another is, that we're getting this understanding. Because if we incorporate these things, okay, I won't have to wonder, is my neighbor saved? I will
Amen.
Know every time I see it. You know, you see what I'm saying? Every time, you know, everybody at Walmart that is, because they'd be dancing all around. Ooh, go over there, because I just pray for the Lord God to make the way. Because he knows what the $2 dresses was. Okay? You know, just in honoring one another, in honoring the Word of God, and in honoring what we see in Scripture presented to us so that we could understand what the church should look like. So we do want to just go through any more comments, questions, because we take as long as we want. We walked off.
I just wanted to mention this, Overseer. I don't know if you remember him or not, but Aurelius Sims.
Yes, yes.
You remember? Well, he used to do that. He would greet you,
and he
had such an eloquent voice. It was like he was singing, and he would sing songs when he come into your come into your presence. And we just thought that was such an unusual thing. And he still does that to this day, you know. And it's just a blessing to know and how the Lord reveals these things to you. And that's just amazing.
Yes.
And he's our age, but we grew up at the same church, and and to this day, he will greet you with a song. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, he
sure does.
the book.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely.
Yep.
And you know what? That's why we should be peculiar people. That's what we should be.
Exactly, exactly.
And
we thought he was very unusual, you know? And we
absolutely
didn't, you know, talk about it, but we just thought it was just,
That was,
you know, wow.
That's what
yes,
he did.
That's
what
right.
He did.
And he was
exactly
being obedient.
Was,
absolutely.
Yes,
and he has his own church now, though, just to let you know, Overseer. He still has his own church.
Lord, I know it's interesting because the woman he married, she's a
yes
song. And
oh,
she's
my God, has a beautiful voice.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. So
yes.
That spirit connects us really to one another
yes
in the most
yes
awesome way. And that
yes
kind of thing will bless a marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It'll
mm-hmm
build
yes
a marriage.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes. It'll be the glue
yes
for a marriage, okay? And like
yes
I say, and I know around here they love Annie, and every time I go, oh, my goodness, you know, because they say, well, how are you? Hi, Deborah, come up, hit him out. And say, oh. Okay,
yes.
And yet that's the way we're supposed to. I used to think no one, and she's an orphan and living in a horrible place and yada, yada, yada. I said, can't nobody be that optimistic. And
right,
yet,
right.
She's optimistic and didn't have God. We should be even more optimistic than that because we do
yes
have him. Okay?
Yes.
So we,
mm-hmm,
absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, this is I don't know how many people want to do it, but lay down your life for one another.
Mm. Yeah.
We know love by this, that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for one another. Now,
yeah,
I don't know people's perception, but I think the first thing that we may need to consider now is the life that he laid down was the one he laid down in heaven to come down
yeah
here where we were.
Amen.
Then he laid down this life, you know, and died on the cross for our sins. But he had to come
yeah
first. And in order
that's
to
right
come, he had to lay down. He had a,
yes, right,
a glorious. I mean,
amen.
If he could give up what he gave up, surely
yes
he could give up our dollar job or our,
yes,
our 15-minute relationship or whatever, you know, in,
mm-hmm,
in honoring not God, but in honoring others. In
yes
honoring others. And that's the thing.
Amen.
And that's the thing. Lay down your life for others. Okay, Nat?
Yes. Do not provoke one another. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, competing against one another, envying one another. Galatians 5,
amen,
25 and 26.
Amen.
And, you know, I've actually, when I saw provoke, I thought about Proverbs where it says, you know, fathers don't provoke your sons. You know, and that kind of thing. But I think that there are so many schisms, as you said, when you read the introduction, that
mm-hmm
we have like a righteous indignation sometimes, and we will provoke. And I know that my natural nature sometimes can be one that can be debatable and argumentative, and this is one
mm-hmm
of those things that we, you know, we have to see ourselves in light of God's word, and when it says don't do it, you know, our justification is from sin, not being justified in being right and whatever my posture is about my own theology and, you know, and those kinds of things. But to be guided by the Spirit and not competing with others. And I think that's one of the beautiful things of the AEN. There really doesn't appear to be any competition. You have a group of people. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing under an umbrella of unity. And I think that these things, as we incorporate that more, I think we will begin to look more and more like that first century church.
Amen. Not just look like them, but have the power of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that group
amen
of people changed the world forever. And so this is what our desire is for one another. Okay, next. Do not grumble against one another. Do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door.
All right.
Do not grumble against one another so that you may not be judged. See, the judge is standing at the door. Boy, and I never, this is the NRSV version, I guess, of all of these scriptures, or some of these scriptures. And that's a very unusual, I don't remember it reading quite like that, because this is very, what do I want to call it? This really is telling you, you know, Jesus is watching, so if I was you, I wouldn't say nothing. That's really what it is. Because whatever you say, it's going to get you in trouble.
And well, so you know, overseer, on the, what version is this I'm looking at? On the NIV, that 25th verse says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Message says, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure we do not hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That's the Message. And the Amplified says, this is the Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And you know, and it did have the 26th verse. I'm going to read that in the if you don't mind, in the Amplified, because I didn't realize it was the 25th and 26th. But it says the 25th again in the Message says, since this is the kind of life we have chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts, but work out its implications in every detail of our lives. That means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us was better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each one of us is an original. And that 26th verse in the Amplified says, let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another.
Hey, man,
so,
and that does the
yeah.
next two. Absolutely. It really takes up the next two. Do not grumble against one another and do not envy one another. And that will, praise the Lord, bring us to the end of the one another's and its practices. And I think it has revealed quite a few things that we can actively and intentionally build upon in our relationships with one another, with the group one another, even as it's identifying who is a part of this one another group. And so I think that as we are closing out on this particular section of the discipline book, we'll be in it doing other things, that this has been a very powerful picture painted of the first church and how the spiritual discipline shaped and empowered their living. And I know Holy Spirit was a power behind all that was done, and this is how he did it with them as he built up in them. One of the things Paul said, all the things that you have heard and learned, and I wish I could, it was four things. You heard it, you learned it, you embraced it, and you obeyed it. That not to forget those things going forward. And so just to be reminded of these things on a regular basis so that they stay in the forefront of our behavior patterns. And as a result, I think emotionally we will be whole, and spiritually we'll bring a healing. And so as a result, the body of Christ will then thrive and be a safe place and a powerful place. Any addition?
Amen. Amen. I think this is a great segue going into your next topic of the fruit of the Spirit, because this is kind of boots on the ground. It's love one another. You know, the virtues don't just fall out of us. There has to be a work that we're doing that cultivates those characteristics that exemplifies those characteristics, that fruit. And all of these one another's appear to do just that. So I'm looking forward to as we move forward and see what the Lord will say to your heart.
Amen. And I think one of the things this morning, it was seed. And we're going to be talking about, as Elder indicated, the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to start, however, with the soil that the seed is planted on. And so I believe the directions the Lord gave said, what is a seed? And so looking it up, and, you know, there's a lot of big words, but to just my layman understanding of it is that there is an embryo that's encased in a covering, and that embryo is the life form of the original, and it's encased in a covering that nurtures it until it finds a resting place where it will, if you will, outgrow the casing and then take root and then produce itself again. And so all of these things are seeds, and they're seeds of the Holy Spirit. They're the embryo in us. It's in the original fruit. And as we die to ourselves, we are the seed that the Word is in, because we have embraced the Word over our flesh, and then as that Word comes forth, then it is nurtured by what it's been encased in. And so that is the power of God. And so that just as you just get that visual, and when he did it, I don't have all of it, but that's how he started to for us to understand this fruit of the Spirit. And so we're looking so forward to that. And as a result, the last element that we didn't do was be kind to one another, which says get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. And when just that part of the scripture is telling us to, well, they're not doing the rest, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ, God forgave you. So those first things that we're getting rid of, that's embracing all of these elements that we talked about, accepting one another. If we accept one another, we won't have malice. We won't slander if we don't grumble. We won't brawling if we not judging, if we're devoted to one another, we're speaking truthfully, if we're teaching one another. And so that's how you eliminate that first line so that second line will
Amen. Be
expressed through us, it says, and this is for Ephesians 4:31-32, and it says the fruit of the Spirit is. So this is what will be produced. As is put forth in Galatians 5:22, which we will go into an in-depth study of a gardener's look at the fruit of the Spirit from a book authored by Philip Keller. I'm excited about it. I am just, this whole journey is a revelation of the walk of the church. Reminding us to remember the first church, keep that model, keep that vision before our eyes, have the details of the vision. That's all of these things. It's the things that Christ said and did after his resurrection. It's the power of the Holy Spirit as he puts forth. It's these elements of spiritual discipline that we must embrace and practice on a moment by moment walk with him, and those things that come forth will definitely change the landscape of the world. And that's what our desire is on behalf of the kingdom of God. It will look like heaven, if no place else, but everywhere God's children are that have been freed and received the revelation of that power that lies in them to transform, transforming power. So we have our apostle on the line. We don't want to sign off without giving her opportunity to share and bless us. Apostle, I know you have to put your phone on, take it off of mute. And
I'm not on mute.
Okay, amen.
I'm here. I have enjoyed the word and all of the insight. I am still pondering over the scripture in Philippians. Watch out for one another, like only I can. I probably took that from a whole nother perspective. So I am grateful for the scales coming off of my eyes, because I always looked at that scripture like literally, watch out. So, thank you for my morning devotion. And it is always a pleasure to glean and learn and gain insight in the multitude of people there is counsel. And so I have enjoyed this. I enjoyed the worship aspect of it, in terms of greeting one another with songs and spiritual songs. And I was thinking about the scripture that said that he is in the midst when two or three, and we use that in church services when the service isn't full, but looking at the fact that church is definitely outside the four walls, and when two or three, when we come in contact with someone else, and he's in the midst, and we can anticipate a special type of power and experience that we kind of prepare ourselves for when we go to church on whatever day we worship, that is available every time we come in contact with someone of like faith. And so looking forward to that type of exchange. So thank you.
Amen. Amen. And on that note, we thank everybody and pray that you have a blessed and safe holiday weekend, and get into your word. Spend some time with God. Make some time for him this holiday, and just bask just in the joy of his presence as he gives us revelation and power, as he rests our souls and revives our spirits. You know, let us share that with those we come in contact with. And so if there's nothing further from anybody that wants to share, we definitely don't want to have anybody miss an opportunity to share what Holy Spirit is sharing with them. So we will say, good day and a joyous journey. Amen. Amen. See you next week.
Amen.